WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Business at federal government offices could grind to a halt at midnight after President Trump and congressional leaders failed to reach an agreement. CBS's Torian Small.
It appears that Republicans and Democrats are no closer to a deal on averting a shutdown than they were a week ago.
The president, Defense Secretary Hegseth, and military leaders from around the world meet in Virginia this morning. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
There are several in-person meetings of senior commanders throughout the year, but a meeting of this scale on such short notice is rare, if not unprecedented.
No reason for the gathering given. Hamas says it'll study President Trump's peace plan for Gaza and discuss it with other Palestinian factions before it responds. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen.
There is so much that has to go right and so much that can go wrong. And while those talks are going on, the Israeli offensive continues.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Another person has announced they're running for governor. Missy Hughes, who until recently was the secretary of Wisconsin's Economic Development Agency, meaning the field of Democrats has gotten more crowded as the field of Republicans got thinner before the weekend. Savannah Tolme Olson has the details.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
The field of Democrats running just keeps growing, and now we can add Hughes to the list, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kelda Royes, State Representative Francesca Hong, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Meanwhile, the roster of Republicans running changed last week. Congressman Tom Tiffany joined the race on Tuesday, and Friday afternoon, businessman Bill Berrien dropped out. He was found to be following sexually explicit accounts online, and at least one of them was a trans performer. Although during his campaign, Berrien was critical of the trans community and ran ads saying he would, quote, keep boys out of our daughter's sports and locker rooms, end quote. That leaves Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman running as Republicans. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks without Giannis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks held their media day to kick off their season, but Giannis Antetokounmpo not there. He's in quarantine in Greece after testing positive for COVID on a Zoom call. Giannis asked how he feels about missing the start of training camp.
Definitely disappointed, bummed out that I'm not able to be there with the team and just like, you know, as a leader, I don't feel good about this. But at the end of the day, like, this is life. But at the end of the day, I think they will understand. If I'm not there today to see them, I'll be there in a few days, and we get the ball rolling.
College football. The Wisconsin Badgers have a rough schedule ahead with games against Iowa, Ohio State, and this Saturday they travel to Michigan.
Our ability to maintain and sustain some consistency as we continue to push and grow is going to be every bit as important as anything else.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and once again mild, our high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Strauss.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
It's what you decide. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, retired Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Chris Foran discusses great stories he's covered and talks movies. And Sean Hannish discusses the theatrical release of No Packers, No Life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Tuesday morning, September 30th, 2025. We've just about run out of September here. But it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or by podcast or on social media and so forth. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Does today feel normal to you? I think I already know your answer, but here's the thing. After today, in hindsight, today will feel like the last normal day for a while. And I wish I weren't the bearer of news like that, but there's probably going to be a government shutdown tonight, and it's going to affect many more people than you might think, and it's going to affect more and more people as the days go on. And so we'll talk about why this is happening, who's making it happen, and where we go from here coming up as part of our conversations this morning. That will include a conversation with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who is our correspondent up on Capitol Hill. So we'll get a live report from Washington, D.C. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news and find out what happened in talks yesterday between President Trump and congressional leaders. And again, where we go from here, which is kind of a mystery given that it's happening because of people who really want it to happen. We will also talk about Wisconsin political matters, of course, with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. So we'll have Dan along as well. That'll be about 8:30. Did I say a little after 7 for Cam? I meant a little after 8. It's the Cam and Dan show here on our Tuesday mornings across the network. So we've got them coming up. We'll talk to State Representative Angela Stroud as well as part of our Way Up North segment. She represents the district up out of Ashland, and she did a video interview recently for Spectrum News all about some of her background and why run for office and all of that. And it might be the first time we've ever had in the Wisconsin legislature a sociologist by training whose favorite movie is Spaceballs. So we'll definitely explore the lighter side of serving in the legislature and in Wisconsin politics as well. Now, look, along the way, you can always text us your comments or questions. You can use that Civic Media app, use the text feature on there or the voice note feature to send us a little message. Or you can get into the comment sections on YouTube or Facebook. So if you're listening on the radio and want to watch what we do and put in a comment that way, head to the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages and let us know your thoughts on the day. You can also just send us an old-fashioned email. That address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I haven't put out just a plain old solicitation lately to just get in the comment sections or send us an email and just tell us where you're listening from. We were talking about that yesterday about, you know, every so often you've got to do, like, for the newsletters, you know, like a reader survey and say, hey, where are you? and what do you like and what do you don't like, and give us your 2 cents. And those get taken very seriously, by the way, so we do appreciate them. If they are sent by email, I'm going to see them first. If they're in the comment sections, Parker and I will see them. He also sees all the text messages Parker Olson does as we head down to Madison Studio to A2 to see his setup down there. What you see on social media, he's looking right at you right now. You are looking at us, aren't you? There he is. Yep. Boy, that is a camera, I'll tell you.
Not good.
But he's also... He's looking into a bank of monitors. It's like he's at a sports bar. There's like at least 4 monitors there that he's staring into, monitoring at all times like he's an air traffic controller. It includes the text messages and the emails and all the audio that's coming in across the global Civic Media radio network. And somehow he finds time to pay attention to what I'm saying as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Now you mentioned the sports bar thing, I never thought of that. This would be awesome. Little setup to watch.
Wouldn't it be funny? I walk in some Saturday and there's Parker with his feet up on the console and he's got the Badger game over here and he's got this over there.
Plate of wings.
Some white water and some wings from, it smells like somebody was warming up something in the radio station microwave again. Yes. So
that's a really good idea. I do park here fairly frequently during the weekends because I have a buddy that lives so close to here. I just park here. So
sure.
Maybe we just come in here instead of going to his place sometime.
You could do worse, especially if you BYOB, because I know how much they charge for drinks and food at some of those bars up and down Water Street. So,
yep.
Speaking of which, bring in your own. Because I went to the Brewers game last Saturday with my buddy.
Yeah.
And he loves to bring in his own snacks, which you can do. You have to have a clear bag.
Yeah.
And you can bring in your own, brings in his own peanuts and maybe some candy or something like that, which worked out great because we sat next to a couple of kids, like a couple of 9 or 10 year old boys. And they just thought it was the coolest that this guy was sharing his stuff with them, and I'm like, Kevin's making friends and I'm over here watching the baseball game. But and the same goes for like movie theater. Some people love to bring in their own stuff because, movie theater candy and everything is, shall we say, not inexpensive.
Yeah. That's fair.
And yet I've never been one to like bring my own stuff in. I'm like, if I'm going to something, I want like the full experience. So I got to get a brat at the ballpark and get my things there. Are you more of a bring your own person?
I think the one time I brought something in was when we just happened to be there the same day as like one of our buddies, like grandparents or something. And we met up with them and they gave us stuff to bring in. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm like you. I want the experience. I want the hot dogs. I want the beers, all that stuff from the ballpark.
Yep. I'm not begrudging anybody. I just think about that. It's one more thing that I would have to think about packing. And
that's true.
That was illustrated during the game when at one point my friend went into his bag to bring out some candy and I could see how mushy it was. And I was like, did you really think it was a good idea to pack chocolate covered peanuts on a warm day?
Oh, what? I was envisioning like M&Ms or something.
Yes,
like, why would you?
Something like that. Anyway, so that went into the freezer when we got home, and it turned out to be, later on it was like one of those chocolate covered salted nut rolls or something like that. Yeah, so
I guess. All right.
See, that's how these things get invented. There will be opportunities later for people to bring stuff to the ball game, just not for the next few days because the Brewers are off getting set for the National League Division Series, where they will host either the Cubs or the Padres starting Saturday. And that Cubs Padres series gets going this afternoon. In fact, it'll be this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, and if necessary, Thursday afternoon, best of 3 at Wrigley Field between the Cubs and the Padres. Is that, because of your working hours and everything, you could take time to just put yourself into that game. Will you be paying close attention to the Cubs Padres series?
Maybe not today, but certainly tomorrow, because just the makeup of my day.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I would like to have a little bit more of an idea of what exactly we're facing. So certainly we'll be watching.
Well, that's why I said if you even want to know what we're facing or just wait till Saturday and see, because if you're watching them, does it just make you nervous? Like, oh, we have to face this guy or
yeah. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to see on Saturday, actually. Depending on what time, I'm not sure I'm going to see on Saturday, depending on what time it is, because I might be at a football game. So,
oh yeah, the TV schedule is like all over the place for the baseball games. They haven't plugged the games in yet, of course, because you don't know which teams will be still alive on Saturday. But I mean, you could conceivably see like a 1 p.m. game, you know, on Saturday and a 9 p.m. game on Monday. I mean, it's not likely, but it's possible.
It's possible. You know? Yeah.
So you have to be prepared for whatever it is that the networks decide that you want to see. And so we'll just have to wait until that happens. We will not have to worry about the Packers because they are in a bye week. So they are off until a week from Sunday, October 12th, at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then the Badgers get back in action this Saturday at Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. Pre-game will start at 9 o'clock, and then the funeral itself will begin at 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm sorry, I'm burying the Badger football team already. And don't get me wrong, we would all love to pull out a victory.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, what we've seen doesn't set you up for a lot of confidence.
No, they're very dull. There haven't been any real flashes in the pan to make you think, oh, maybe, oh, no, I don't see.
Yeah. Let's see, the Badger women's volleyball team, they swept Iowa on Sunday, so they're 9-1 now, and they will next host Illinois this Thursday evening at the Fieldhouse. So,
nice. I like it. I got to watch more.
What did I just hear Mike Clemens say? That Giannis...
Giannis has COVID. He's quarantining in Greece. So he's not at... he wasn't
so
at
that's
media
why he
day.
Wasn't at the Bucks media day.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Look, I have every reason to believe him. I just also have every reason to think that if I had the ability to say, I've got to stay in Greece, I'm sick, I might do that. So.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. That's probably fair.
Yep. let's see. We asked about whether today feels like a normal day. Sharon puts on Facebook. No, America feels kind of frightening to me right now. Yes, maybe. Alicia's hoping that maybe the Packers can clean up their act over the bye week. Yes, true. I think Leaf wanted to be rebellious here on YouTube, saying no one cares what the program director of a linear broadcast network thinks about scheduling anymore. We just stream what we want. But then I think he had a change of heart and went, well, sports may be different. Yeah. I mean, everything else we can kind of stream when we want. We'll watch the show when we want to watch the show. But if you want to watch the thing live, which
sports are quite possibly the only thing that you need to watch live.
Yeah, I would agree. Because even like, say, award shows and some of those other big events. I mean, if you don't mind the spoilers, you can catch them, a little bit later.
Yeah.
So I like the streaming. It's just that I've always been kind of a cable person. I've been a customer of my local cable company here for 30 years.
Okay.
Even though the internet keeps going out every so often.
So
yesterday when it went out again, and on the little modem right over here on the side of my desk, the little light that says online is usually a very steady blue, but now then it does this little blue to white, which is your sign that you're offline.
Yeah. My favorite thing about our router is that it doesn't say that we're offline, even though nothing works.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I don't want, a little blue to white thing. I want it to like ring a bell or, moo, or a little computerized voice saying,
hey,
you have no service. Hey, I'm broken. Because then you get online with the cable company, and of course you first have to chat with a robot, and it says, God, did you unplug this, then wait 2 minutes, and did you wait 2 minutes and plug this back in, even though you've done this a dozen times, and you have to go through all the things with the robot before they finally go, oh, we'll send a technician out tomorrow.
Pat, did you know that FanDuel doesn't have people?
It's unbelievable.
It's just a text line. There isn't a phone line.
I just have no patience for that. I mean, humans, you want my business, you got to have humans. I don't feel like that is too much to ask. Coming up in just a bit, we will have the latest on the shutdown showdown on what may be the last full day before the federal government goes through a big ordeal that it does not have to go through. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Stuck in a job that just isn't getting it done? Maybe it's time to go for IT. Whether you're just starting out, switching careers, or a military veteran ready for change, My Computer Career can help you launch a rewarding career in IT in months. No prior experience needed. Why spend years getting a traditional degree when your future in IT can start right now? Take the free career evaluation at mycomputercareer.edu today. Your most powerful upgrade? Your career. Go for it. Go for IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just about 6:23 right now, and you're saying, oh, is this where he plugs the Up North News daily newsletter again at upnorthnews.wi.com? No, nope, not this time, because Civic Media has a new daily newsletter, and it is chock full of highlights, links, and more. Sign up for it at civicmediatoday.substack.com. That's civicmediatoday.substack.com to get that. You never know, Parker, where the comments are going to go sometimes from folks. And we do appreciate the comments on YouTube and Facebook and all that. As far as live TV goes, Alicia puts on YouTube, no, you have to watch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow live. Thank you, Alicia.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I got to be here anyway. So, and then this one that I wasn't sure where this was going at first, from Leaf, who says about our sports coverage. There is a stretch of the Amazon River way upstream where there's a bit of limestone. The river has over the millennia worn deep caves into those banks. Some go back a mile or more. There's a species of fish that has evolved back there that has absolutely no eyes, no sensitivity to light whatsoever. These fish care more about baseball than me. Thank you, Lee. Very well done. And noted. So perhaps it is that we get back to covering some of the news. And for covering the news, yes, that brings me to our weekly newsletter where we talk about our question of the week. Yep, king of the pivots right here. And it's called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. And the question of the week this week is again about a potential government shutdown. And this time around, it's, you know, who's going to blink? Is it going to be Democrats because of the hardship that's about to be imposed on the American people? Is it that Trump caves, you know, because taco? Trump always chickens out. It happened the last time that he tried a government shutdown in his first term. He'll look for some reason to claim victory even as he caves in. And then the third option I gave was that there's actually kind of a revolt against President Trump, that congressional Republicans and Democrats hammer out a deal on their own, that Trump vetoes it, and that congressional Republicans join Democrats. They override the veto and greatly diminish Trump's hold over Congress. I don't know that it's likely, but it's a possibility. And a lot of people so far in the early responses have been hoping for that. So we'll see. We'll see what your thoughts are as well. And again, for that, sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. So as far as a potential shutdown goes, there was a meeting at the White House yesterday with the president and Republican and Democratic leaders. And again, there was no deal reached because Republicans don't want a deal. They made massive cuts to healthcare in two different ways that I'll explain in a moment. And now they have to pass a full budget, not just a short-term little spending and tax package like the big bloated boondoggle from, you know, earlier this year. This is like an entire federal budget. And Republicans have majorities, but they can't agree among themselves what to pass. And so they're probably going to need Democratic votes unless they finally get their act together. Spoiler alert, they will not get their act together. They're going to need Democratic votes. So they're out here saying, and you can hear it, saying, we want to pass a clean CR, and Democrats want the shutdown because they won't join us in passing a clean CR. What's a CR? CR is a continuing resolution. In other words, kicking the can again. You know how long it's been since we've had an actual federal budget that was done through the normal process, passed into law? Yeah, it was when Democrats were controlling Congress. Since Republicans came on board, it's been nothing but chaos because they've had these thin majorities where it only takes a couple of people to basically take away your majority. And that's what Republicans have. You have some who are a bit moderate going, maybe we shouldn't take away all this health care. Our constituents might not like it. You have some who are so far to the right that won't vote for anything that doesn't essentially shut down the government full time. They want so much in spending cuts, and they've just said they won't vote for anything because it's so much easier to vote no than it is to actually, you know, talk, negotiate, compromise, do your job. And so that's where you work the parties together. And parties have worked together forever to talk among themselves the way that we all would have to in the workplace and craft something, even if it's just a continuing resolution. But you could actually pass a budget bill too, except that Republicans say, well, we're not going to actually negotiate with Democrats. We're going to try to guilt you in to voting with us on this so-called clean CR and tell you how terrible this shutdown is going to be, to which Democrats are saying, yeah, we know shutdowns are bad. That's why typically we don't go along with this. But your last thing, the big bloated boondoggle, was so harmful with the two different types of healthcare cuts that we're not going along with this until you restore some of those cuts. And it can go one of two ways. Now, one would be the so-called enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act. In other words, all kinds of Americans are about to see their health insurance premiums go up sharply because the policies that they buy through the Affordable Care Act marketplace, those are partially subsidized. That's what makes the Affordable Care Act affordable, that some of what we pull together for our tax dollars is used so that we can all afford health insurance. The other, of course, is the massive cuts to Medicaid that conveniently won't be coming until after the midterms. And so people won't really feel much of that pain, but it's coming. And Democrats are saying, look, you want our votes? You got to give back some of that in one area or the other. Giving back the enhanced tax credits should be a no-brainer because, again, the Affordable Care Act is at its heart a conservative healthcare plan because you're buying private insurance. You're just getting a little taxpayer help through a subsidy to get it. But of course, now that it's got the Obama name on it, they don't like it, Obamacare. It would be the easy thing to do, but It's easier for them to just say no and have a shutdown. And that's what we're facing for the foreseeable future. We'll tell you about the big cartoon that premiered on network TV this day 65 years ago after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
You may think that World Dairy Expo is a show only for people that are in the dairy industry or involved in cows. Well, you might want to think again. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. I'll give everybody a reason why they may want to attend World Dairy Expo. That's up next.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
It is a tradition that everybody can enjoy at World Dairy Expo, the grilled cheese sandwich. The UW-Madison Badger Dairy Club is largely responsible for the grilled cheese stand at World Dairy Expo. Grace Manziel is heading up the effort this year on behalf of Badger Dairy Club. She's from Roberts, Wisconsin. She's currently a biological systems engineering student on campus, and she's ready for volume this week.
We are estimating to sell about 20,000 grilled cheeses throughout this week. It takes about 15 people at our peak time. As you can see, this morning we're running a little short. Sometimes we have one person on four griddles and we're making it work. But our crew here is really good about jumping in and helping out and making sure that everything gets done. So it's awesome.
Yes, it is. That's Grace Manziel from Roberts, Wisconsin, a student on the UW-Madison campus and a member of the Badger Dairy Club that will be the energy behind the more than 20,000 grilled cheese sandwiches they'll be selling. They also expect to kick out somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 chocolate shakes.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
It's going to be a tough decision for a lot of Wisconsin farmers to decide if they want to attend World Dairy Expo with the beautiful weather we're enjoying. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says 66% of our corn silage has been harvested and 4% of our corn for grain is already harvested. About 6% of our soybeans have already been combined. 72% of our potatoes have been harvested. So there's still some work to be done when it comes to the harvest of 2025. We'll see you at World Dairy Expo. That's a quick update on Food and Fiber News on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and once again mild, our high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Federal government shutdown looms, healthcare in danger. We'll discuss it with Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Action Alliance. Also, Alex Bedorsky is in talking about Knowles Nelson Conservancy.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome to today's history lesson for this September 30th. It was on September 30th, 65 years ago today, 1960, that the Flintstones premiered on ABC. And I think a lot of folks are kind of surprised when they hear about the Flintstones, the Jets, and some of these old-time, you know, cartoon series. But yeah, those were actually network shows. You know, think about The Simpsons. How long has The Simpsons been on now? And actually, for the longest time before The Simpsons, there were no like primetime cartoon shows. It was like, oh, no, cartoons, those are for kids. But no, in the early days of TV, you saw things like that, including that modern Stone Age family, the Flintstones, premiering this day in 1960.
I wonder.
You have any experience watching the Flintstones?
Oh, I don't.
Or are they only like a vitamin to you, those little Flintstone chewables?
They're mainly a vitamin. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not too familiar with the screen version of the Flintstones.
Yeah, that's okay. It's, you know, again, it was entertaining for us as kids. And then you go back at it now with its, some would say old fashioned values. Some would say, thank goodness we've evolved.
Yeah.
From what some of those, some I'm the man. So this is how it's going to be. You know, it's a very loosely based on Jackie Gleason's The Honeymooners. Again, funny stuff. Not all of it stands at the test of time.
Not everything always ages well, which is something that I think a lot of people need to remember.
Yes, please remember that. Happy birthday to Fifth Dimension singer Marilyn McCoo, who is 82 years old today. Marilyn McCoo really does have one of my favorite singing voices out there. And again, happy birthday to her. Still apparently performing along with Billy Davis Jr., her husband, also from the Fifth Dimension. On this day in 1939, the first televised football game was on NBC. Again, this day in 1939. On this day, one more sports theme. 1981 was the last Minnesota Twins baseball game at Metropolitan Stadium. And if you'd never been to the Met, just think of Old County Stadium. The two were rather similar,
yeah.
And you know, just your fine classic ballpark before we turned all of these sports venues into mini amusement parks.
You ever think about that though? At how somehow, especially for football, not so much for baseball because there's some leniency with what you can do in baseball,
mm-hmm.
but in football, it's everything. It's all 100 yards by whatever 50 some odd yards.
Right. Yep.
All of them look so different. It's kind of a marvel that they have as much variety as they do for being the exact same thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, each one, it's like I said, it's its own little development and putting the things in that they want. And, of course, then charging you an arm and a leg. Although Jim in Brookfield on the text line takes note that says, good morning, Pat. When I went to the Brewers-Cubs game using the four Civic Media seats that he won, one of our friends brought in a clear bag of snacks as a backup. He then spent a good chunk of change on a bowl of jambalaya that he spilled when a foul ball came our way.
Oh.
So I guess it pays to bring some snacks. First off, jambalaya is right to your point of every park there's a little something different in there.
Yeah, really?
Like, you're going to get jambalaya at a baseball game? But also, maybe bringing some of your own as a backup isn't a bad thing, as long as it's not, say, chocolate-covered peanuts, you know? Happy birthday to Johnny Mathis. The singer turns 90 years old today.
Yes, it's over. Call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way.
Happy birthday to Phish frontman Trey Anastasio, who is 61 years old today. Record producer, singer-songwriter T-Pain is 41 years old today. Happy birthday to singer Patrice Rushen. She is 71 and had this single back in 1982. Angie Dickinson is 94 years old today. Policewoman. She had that groundbreaking show that showed that women could be cops too, and tough ones at that. And while we're feeling old about old TV stars, Greg Brady from the Brady Bunch, actor Barry Williams, is 71 years old today. And from The Nanny, Fran Drescher, she is 68 years old today. The number one hit this day in 1978 was by the band Exile. I wanna kiss you all over. On this day in 1989, Bette Midler was awarded $400,000 in a lawsuit against the Ford Motor Company, which had her former backup singer singing one of Bette Midler's hits in a 1985 commercial for the Mercury Sable.
Now there's a car that just asks to be driven.
See, now, I was sure that was Bette Midler back when that commercial was running, because I love that song from Bette Midler, Do You Want to Dance? No, it was a backup singer. And the verdict meant that companies could no longer purposely imitate the vocals of a famous singer in commercials without their consent. Although, maybe they do it now, because what do we call it? We call it sampling. It's sampling. We're sampling, you know? No, it's plagiarism.
The other day, I was listening to, I cannot remember what the song is. Ah, shoot. But it's way older than Jump Around is. But it's got that sample at the beginning of the song.
And look, there's nothing wrong with the sample. We just played Patrice Russian, Forget Me Nots. And I'm sure some people right away jumped on Will Smith, Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
It's based off of that. And again, if you're upfront about that, if you're giving partial songwriting credit, for example, that's okay. It's just that over the years, people and record companies have learned, you know, you can't just pilfer this and say, oh, we're paying tribute to this artist. No, you actually have to give them credit.
You should probably credit them and pay them and, you know.
Yeah, here's a song that's been sampled a time or two and maybe borrowed from somebody else. The Mariah Carey tune Fantasy became just the second single to debut at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 this day in 1995. I've got to go past all of the ahs and woo-woos and woo-woos. She'll be here in just a moment, folks. She's got to warm up. There we go. So yeah, again, this day, 30 years ago today, Mariah Carey's Fantasy, just the second single ever to debut at number one. The first one was Michael Jackson's You Are Not Alone, and Fantasy would be the number one song for 8 weeks. This is the one-year anniversary of the United Kingdom becoming the first major economy to give up coal and ceased operations at the last coal-fired power station in the United Kingdom. That was 1 year ago today. And yet yesterday, the president of the United States announced a huge, very expensive new effort to give rebirth to the coal industry in the United States. Because apparently y'all need to shovel coal into your furnaces the way that our great-grandparents did back in the day. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Melissa Baldoff in our climate check. We talked to author Laura Bird about this yesterday, that today is the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, which honors victims and survivors of residential schools for Indigenous children. She had a great segment on books that were related to it. You could maybe go through your podcast or over to the Civic Media website and listen back to Laura's 8:30 appearance yesterday about some of the books that can tell you more about this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation about Indian boarding schools. And on this day in 1997, Australia had a gun buyback program after there had been a mass shooting that killed 35 people. This outraged the public. The mass shooting, not the gun buyback. That's what would happen here in this country if we tried that. But Australia did the gun buyback because they were outraged about the mass shooting. All told, more than 640,000 firearms were collected and destroyed, and people were paid for turning in their guns. And there has never been a mass shooting of that caliber since. And again, in the 28 years since then, only three shootings with five deaths or more. Because again, I understand it's the guns. Let's look at today's National Day calendar. This is National Chewing Gum Day, which I don't anymore. But
no, not
that's
much.
More of an age of, you know, your dentist says, yeah, you really shouldn't do that.
Oh, is, believe that, is that a time of
well,
life
you,
that
you
happens?
Get enough dental work done and you just go, yeah, I don't want to be the one showing up at the dentist's office going, yeah, I was chewing some gum and blah, blah, blah.
So, yeah.
No. Were you much of a bubble blower back in the day?
I had braces, so I didn't really get to chew gum at all.
Yeah. Oh, we're just both wet blankets here on National Chewing Gum Day, so never mind. It is Orange Shirt Day, again, about the Indigenous boarding schools that we talked about earlier. This is National Pet Tricks Day. Do you ever have a pet that did tricks?
I have a pet who I think his best trick is managing to coax treats out of us.
Oh, that is a good trick.
That's
yes.
a pretty good trick. If I was a dog, that would be my number one trick. Well,
We had a lab for 14 years and she had this great trick of, you know, vomiting in places where you didn't expect and had to have trouble cleaning up.
That was
her trick. Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
And this is International Podcast Day. So
a reminder that you can listen
by
to this
podcast,
show.
Yeah, yes, by all means, head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and sign up for this show and for the Todd Alba Show and the Kristen Lierley Show and Matt and Air on Air, Maggie Dawn, all of it. Just today for International Podcast Day, go to Spotify or one of these places, sign up for all the shows.
Yeah.
You can cancel them tomorrow, but for International Podcast Day, you kind of have to.
It's like a
requirement.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's in the rules of listening to this show.
Yes. Parker has some entertainment news, and there was some big news made yesterday about the big football game that happens every January, early February here. And it was an announcement that did not make everybody happy, you know, unless you like music, then it made you happy. Right, Parker?
It was one of those things that you kind of post the one meme about all the old white guys go, ew.
Yes.
Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny has been announced as the performer for the Super Bowl halftime show, which is actually means that he's breaking his. He's been avoiding the U.S. On his tour because he has said that he's worried about ICE raids at a concert venue. So he's breaking that to come and perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. The biggest show in America, dare I say.
The biggest, yes. And MAGA World lost their damn minds yesterday because, again, somebody who's been critical of, you know, rounding up people based on what they look like is now coming into the U.S. to do one concert, the big one. And of course, you know, the posts that were put up by conservatives are just crazy. Like, you know, here's Robbie Starbuck, a conservative filmmaker. Does this guy really scream American football to anyone? Be for real. No one thinks he does. It's not about music. It's about putting a guy on stage who hates Trump and MAGA. No, it actually is about music. He's one of the most popular musicians out there.
It's specifically
very
about music.
Good.
It's never been about football.
Yeah. And when you say, does this scream American football? We know what you're saying, buddy. Well, we get it. And it's just fun to have watched, somebody of, I believe, Puerto Rican descent. Yeah, Puerto Rican artist. Get this gig and have you go, oh, not Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. They're Americans, same as you and me, and should deserve to be up there because unlike a lot of these other folks, this guy has talent. We'll be back. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hawk's work boots are built from the simple idea that those who feed, build, and fuel the nation shouldn't have to compromise on work boots. Available only at Boot Barn, Hawk's constructs high-quality, field-tested work boots that provide unmatched protection and support for workers across all industries. Safety toe boots that are puncture-resistant, slip-resistant, and built with cushioned insoles for all-day comfort. Hawk's is built to last. Hawk's work boots, only at Boot Barn.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The midterm gerrymandering arms race is on, with the current balance of power in the U.S. Congress 219 Republicans to 213 Democrats. Red states Texas and Missouri have finished manipulating their congressional maps. What states are next? Heeding President Donald Trump's call to gerrymander more GOP seats, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the legislature's new congressional map September 28th, splitting a Kansas City district to likely gain one more congressional seat for the GOP. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a plan August 29th, gerrymandering five GOP seats. A Democratic plan in California awaits a referendum in November. September 23rd, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly called for meetings around the state to hear public testimony on mid-decade redistricting and avoided calling a special session. Meanwhile, the GOP, with its supermajority in the state House and Senate, needs signatures from two-thirds of the legislature to call a special session for itself. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said in August that redistricting would be, quote, appropriate, but there's been no concrete action thus far. Ohio's redistricting committee met September 24th, ahead of a September 30th deadline. Governors Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire and Kay Ivey in Alabama have said they do not support reopening the redistricting process. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friends from the Family Center of Wisconsin Rapids. We have Jessica Jinsky joining us, Program Service Manager over there. Jessica, good to see you. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
Always appreciate the time from you and the team over at the Family Center doing some of the most vital work in our community. We appreciate you all. And wanted to get you guys in the studio today to talk about some important things. One of them we wanted to go over was what October is and getting into the awareness of that. And it just a quick tease to everybody, get your purple ready. Be sure to get that ready. But before we go into that, if you don't mind, Jessica, we recently got some DV counts. That is domestic violence stats and some numbers. Can we go into that first?
Sure. So every year, the National Network to End Domestic Violence does what we call DV counts. It's domestic violence counts. And this is one day of an unduplicated count of adults and children seeking domestic violence services in the United States. This annual survey documents the number of people who sought services in a single 24-hour period, as well as the types of services they request, and the number of requested services that unfortunately were unmet due to a lack of resources and the issues and barriers domestic violence programs face in providing services to survivors. So each year, our domestic violence counts report summarizes that data. It's instrumental in raising awareness about domestic violence and the incredible work local domestic violence programs do every day. So this year's report came out for 2024. Last year, the surveys were done on September 4th. And according to that report, in Wisconsin alone, there were 1,955 victims served. And out of that 1,955 victims served, 1,069 adults and children actually utilized those emergency shelter services, whether that was an emergency shelter like ours or a transitional housing type organization, hotels, motels, and other housing provided by local programs. And out of that 1,955, 886 adults and children received non-residential supportive services like transportation, court accompaniment, counseling, and more. There were 777 hotline contacts received. That means that those were individuals calling into crisis lines, similar to what we have 24 hours a day. And so that actually averages to 32 contacts an hour as far as those hotline calls coming in on those crisis lines.
It's an incredible stat. I just wanted that to sit there, that last statement that you made there. That's needed to be, I think that needs to reverberate through people's brains so that it really hits them
right.
And hits their hearts, hopefully.
Yes.
You know, you could have said one. And it'd be too many.
Right.
Like I hope that's kind of understood in this community and around this area. And we're being completely honest. I think that we're fortunate to a degree in this area where we have a domestic violence shelter. Just. Like, period. And that we have such great people behind it, that we have so many community leaders that back this organization, that back this nonprofit, that are behind it and have been for a very long time.
Yes.
We also know that the public, the narrative societally has shifted quite a bit in the last 20 years when it comes to domestic violence. And for one, us even talking about this in a raised voice instead of being hushed.
Right. We've come into the light.
We've come a long way with that.
Yeah.
And we've done some great work as the society on it. We've seen these numbers at times go down a little bit and everything pre-pandemic and some of that.
Yep.
There has been improvements made on this front. Not enough. Not enough has been done. Not enough has happened yet.
Right.
And as you've heard me report and you've heard the Family Center report and many of our great news people report on here for at least 2 years now, the cuts to our domestic violence shelters have been happening more and more.
And they're substantial.
Yeah. The resources that are available are less and less. There has never been more of an all hands on deck time than now when it comes to our local domestic violence shelters.
Correct.
We see these numbers, if not staying steady, increasing in some departments, in some areas.
Yep.
And they have been since the pandemic.
Correct.
This is one of those topics where I think that if you poll most people, you grab a stranger on the street and you ask him, hey, what do you think about domestic violence? Most people are going to be against it. But how many people actually put that into action?
Right.
And by that, I don't mean just not hurting your loved ones, which is first and foremost, of course. Feel like that's not a controversial statement.
Right.
Don't feel like I'm going out on a limb on saying that one. But it's also putting it into action, whether it is volunteering or donating to your violence shelters in your area, your domestic violence shelters in your area. That's a key. That's a big part of this.
It is.
It goes a long way. But there's also awareness and showing that you're on the right side of history with this one. And there is no goal. This is where we are as a society now. This is not cool. It's never been cool. It's never been an okay thing. But we're finally on the place where we are admitting and being honest about this. And we're raising our kids this way.
Correct.
And that is an incredibly vital part of this. And so when those kids are growing up, their brains are sponges. They're picking up all this stuff. So whether you're making light of a story or you're making a joke about domestic violence or any of these things, this stuff matters too. It all adds up. These numbers are where they are because we've been raising kids this way for so long. You can't point the finger and blame, well, it's TV, it's movies, it's music.
Right.
It's guess what? This has been around a lot longer than any of those things.
Right.
This is something where we have to look in the mirror as a society and take ownership and take accountability. We have to understand that this is something that we can do something about as well. That's the cool part about this. Yes, this is a problem that society has caused. It's also something that we can fix. We can make better.
Right.
And we can do it together. And that's the only way we get this done. Working together as a community, working with our violent shelters, paying attention to these numbers, not shying away from them, not doing the easy thing of, oh, that's a heavy topic. I don't want to talk about it. That's how we got here.
Right.
We didn't want to talk about these things. We would, we don't want to interfere. We don't want to mess with our neighbors or these things. I get it. Especially in the Midwest, we're overly polite. We don't like to do those things.
Right.
That's understood. And I'm not asking anybody to change who they are. But I am asking you to be a little more open-minded and have a little bit of your
eyes open. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Just hours to go until the midnight deadline, and congressional Republicans and Democrats are still far apart on a government funding deal. CBS's Tina Krause.
If there is a shutdown, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid payments will continue, though national parks and museums will close.
President Trump and Defense Secretary Hegseth are expected to address military leaders from around the world when they gather at Quantico Marine Base in Virginia next hour. Military analyst Jeff McCausland.
This is unprecedented. In fact, unprecedented doesn't describe this.
Pentagon hasn't given a reason for the meeting. Federal troops set to deploy to Tennessee as part of the president's crackdown on crime. CBS's Nicole Valdez is in Memphis.
Those National Guardsmen who are expected to be in the city at some point this week are, we're told, not going to be making arrests, nor will they be armed unless local law enforcement asks them to be.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.